Good morning. If you want to open your Bibles back up to Luke 6, we're going to be going through our New Testament reading this morning. Let's pray first. Lord, we ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order that we may live lives worthy of you and may please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of you. Amen. Now, I wonder if you remember a TV show, I used to watch it when I was a kid, Mr. Squiggle. Do we remember that? The man from the moon. He had a pencil on his nose. You know, he'd get these big bits of cardboard and had half a circle and a squiggly line on it, and he'd add a few more squiggles, and then he'd turn it into a picture. And when the picture was done, he would say to his assistant, Rebecca, "It's upside down, upside down, upside down." I remember as a kid, I would watch that, and I would watch it so closely and study it, and sometimes I reckon I'd lie on the lounge upside down to try and work out what the picture was, but I could never get it until Rebecca turned it over. Now, while preparing for this sermon, I diligently spent half a day watching reruns of Mr. Squiggle. And I can tell you, my mum must have laughed her head off, because it's so easy to see what the picture is, even upside down. But as I could, I couldn't comprehend it. You know, because things had a way of being, and that's how they had to be, and that's all I could understand. So Mr. Squiggle would finish his drawing and he'd say, "That's a duck." And I'd be like, "A duck doesn't have horns. Where's its beak?" But then he'd get Rebecca to flip it over and there it was, plain as day, a duck. Now last week, we looked at the first half of Jesus' sermon on the plain. And this week, we're going to look at the second half of that. And in this sermon on the plain, Jesus looks at different parts of the worldview, and he says to us that the way the world sees it and the way the world tells us to see it, it's upside down. And what Jesus does, he turns these pictures the right way up, just like Mr. Squiggle did, and reveals to us what it should really look like. Last week, Phil told us to love our enemies. What a nut job. Love our enemies. That's the biggest upside down picture we have. Our enemies have one purpose, and that's to be hated, isn't it? You know, if we want to love something, we buy a puppy. But Jesus says, love your enemies. That's the right way to look at it. This week, we're going to see how Jesus turns two other pictures upside down, or the right way up. The first one is judging others, and the second one is knowledge. Now, let's look at our first one, judging others. This is a bit of a complex picture with many details and different things happening all over the place. You see, on the one level, the world tells us that we have no right to judge anyone. You know, let them do whatever they want and you do what you want. But then the world makes the whole of life about judging others. You know, from the court systems to the way we rate movies and TV shows, from judging celebrities and what they wear on the red carpet to what the person next to you is picked to wear today. Now, I want you to ask this question to yourself. What does the world say is the point of judging other people? Why do we do it? Well, the world says the point is to make ourselves feel good by making others feel bad. We quickly point out other people's flaws and failings before they can point ours out. We like to say, at least I'm not as bad as them. Now, the world's view on judging others is upside down. But it knows that this default, it's not right. And knows that it's not healthy. You know, so there are many campaigns and there are calls to stop judging other people completely. And there's a lot of Christians that say this is what Jesus is saying here in this passage today. But it's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus tells us to judge people. And let me show you how. We're going to look at verses 37 to 42 first. And this part of Scripture is constantly misquoted. Here is what it's not saying. It's not saying that you have no right to judge others because you are as sinful as others and only God can judge. So this is how most people interpret the passage. But it's not right. What is it saying? Well, verses 37 and 38 can be summed up in the final sentence of verse 30. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So how do you judge? How do you forgive? However you do those things, that is how God will judge and forgive you. Jesus then goes on from 39 and 40, constructs two different types of ways of learning how to do something. And the first one is a blind person leading another blind person. And this is how it is if we follow what the world tells us to do. Now, I had two apprentices a while ago. One was a third year and the other was a fourth year. And we were writing data cables, so stuff that runs the projectors and your telephones and things like that. Now, these were up in the roof, and what you need to do is you need to tie a cable up so it looks neat and you can't see it. Like, we can't see any really around here. Now, the thing is, with data cable, we need to use Velcro, not your normal cable ties. And we'd have these things. It'll work in a second. I've got a picture of them. This thing here. I've got a picture of it because I don't know how many people would know. This is called a Christmas tree. So the bit pointing down are the leaves and the base is obviously at the top. And the branch part, that would go into the concrete. So you drill a hole, you hammer it in. And your cable tie would usually go through that slot and tie the cables. Now, the biggest problem is the Velcro strips are too wide for that hole. And so you put a cable tie in, make a small loop, and then Velcro the cables to the cable tie. Now, it seems pretty complex, but it's actually the easiest way of doing it. And we had to do a long strip. And so I asked the third year if he knew what he was doing, and he said, yes, I know exactly what I'm doing. So I gave him the two ladders. I gave him a first year pack of cable ties and a 15-meter roll of Velcro to cut up into small lengths. I came back 20 minutes later expecting it to be done, and they'd put one up each. Now, what they'd done is they'd rolled 15 meters of Velcro out and cut it in half lengthwise so it would fit through. I remember it like it was yesterday because I was with the builder, and he laughed so much that the plumber came out to have a look what was going on. Great example of the blind leading the blind. Goes nowhere, it's a total failure. And that's what happens if we are led by the world in what they say is the best way to judge others. Jesus then describes a relationship between a student and a teacher. And this is the way that Jesus says we should be doing it. Here, Jesus is the teacher and we are the students. We are to follow what he does and learn from him. So we'll never be above Jesus, and that's because he is God. But we can be equal to Jesus once we're fully trained. You know, that doesn't mean we're going to bring people back from the dead or we'll heal the sick or any of those kind of things. But with some training and guidance, we can judge people in a way that Jesus does, not in a way that the world does. And so Jesus teaches us how to judge. And the next two verses are well known, you know, about the speck in your brother's eye and the log in your own. And you can't tell me all the things wrong with me, because look at all the things that are wrong with you. That's how most people say it. Well, that's wrong. Have a look at the last part of verse 42. It says, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus says to take the speck out of your brother's eye, to point out their flaws, to judge them for their sins. But first, and this is the most important part, you need to look at yourself. And where is the sin in your life? How do you need to improve? And dealing with your own sin before pointing out others means that you can judge them in a loving way, not trying to make yourself feel good by making them feel bad, but to help them grow in their godliness, to become more Christ-like. You see, like things like drugs and sex, judging is a good thing if used in the right way, if used in the way God intended it. You see, God gave us the ability to judge others as a tool to help each other to improve our godliness. The world says to judge others however you want. Learning to judge from the world and to judge so you feel good about yourself. And Jesus gets this picture and he turns it the right way up and says, judging others how you want to be judged, that's not right. Learn from Jesus and how he judges. First, look at yourself so that through judging yourself and fixing your own sin, you can lovingly judge your brother. And so both of you can become closer to God. Now that was the first worldview that Jesus turned the right way up. Now look at the second one, knowledge. Now looking at this worldview, Jesus starts in a way that most people logically would. Talks about trees. He talks about good trees and bad trees and how if you're a good tree, you have good fruit, and if you have a bad tree, you have bad fruit. And there's no mixing. Have a think to yourself about what you do. Think about your actions. Are you a good tree with good fruit, or you're a bad tree with bad fruit? Take a second and have a think. Now I bet you looked at yourself and happily listed all the good things that you did and announced yourself a good tree. It's what I did. I wrote my list down. I never speed, mostly because I have cruise control. I get up at 5 a.m. every day with Vola so Molly can sleep in after she's gotten up a few times overnight. You know, I sold my house so I could go into ministry and help people come to God's kingdom. I do extra work around Picton and Wilton, and I don't charge for it. And one time I actually said something nice about someone. And yet, I'm like the bad tree. I am an evil man that brings evil things out of the evil stored up in my heart. And I can see all your faces. What's he done? What's he going to confess to us? Well, I've already confessed to the one I needed to. And it was no worse than anything any of you have done. You're all like me, evil people that bring evil things out of the evil stored up in your hearts. And how do I know that? Well, two bits of evidence. This is me judging everyone, so let's see if I can do it how Jesus has taught us. Now first, we're Anglicans, right? And so we stand by the 39 articles. Article 13 reads, works done before the grace of God and the inspiration of the Spirit are not pleasant to God, for as much as they spring not from faith in Jesus Christ, neither do they make men meet to receive grace or deserve grace, ye rather, for that they are not done as God hath willed and commanded them to be done. We doubt not, but they have the nature of sin. You know, that's saying that all the things that we do that are good, that are done outside the forgiveness given to us by Jesus, are just as sinful as the bad things that we do. And now the second comes from the only authority greater than the 39 articles. Not the prayer book. The Bible. Have a look at verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does bad tree bear good fruit. You cannot have both, either good or evil. Can I say, I have removed the log from my eye. You know, I am an evil man, and I have judged you all evil. So I think I can. Now here is where knowledge comes into play. The solution, it is knowledge. And well, that is what the world tells us. And the world tells us knowledge is power. And the person with the most knowledge is the one with the most power. The world tells us that we just need to know more stuff. Jesus turns this picture on its head. Have a read with me of verses 46, 47. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. Jesus says, knowledge is not power. He states here that knowledge is nothing without doing something about it. Has everyone here heard of Richard Dawkins, the world's most famous atheist, a man that knows the Bible back to front? He has so much knowledge, and less yet the day of the Lord will come and he will not be saved. Well, he has all the knowledge. He's done nothing with it. Jesus says that if you hear his words and put them into practice, you'll be like the house with great foundation and will hold up to the worst of storms. And that storm will come, and worst of all, on Judgment Day, when we all stand before our Maker to plead our case, why we should enter eternal rest. If we hear Jesus' words and put them into practice, we will get into heaven. So the most important thing are Jesus' words. But what of Jesus' words? You know, here they are in the Bible. All 66 books, every single word, and they point to one event, Jesus' death. That death that you hear about and take on as knowledge, put it into practice by having faith that that death of Jesus gives him the authority to proclaim a sinner a saint. We are bad trees, but if we hear Jesus' words and put them into practice, if we believe in the power of the death and resurrection, he will look at us and say, they're one of mine. This one I declare to be a good tree. And it is after we have faith in Jesus' death that our works can finally be seen as good. Our works done through the knowledge of Christ and for Christ, they are the fruit of the good tree. See, everyone has the same problem. Everyone is a sinner. And whatever we do, no matter how insignificant, must be done to extend God's kingdom and got more people practicing what they hear Jesus say. Because the person that does not put Jesus' words into practice, the moment the tyrant struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. See, the world says that knowledge is power. Jesus turns that worldview on its head and says, it is me that has the power. What you need to do is put the knowledge I give you into practice. Now, leaving here today, what should we do? Read, pray, have fellowship? That's what living out these two areas of life are going to take, aren't they? Now, these are all important things, and we should all be doing those three. But I want us to do something simpler and yet deeper. First, go out and love. Show Christ's love to the world. Love God. Love your neighbor. If you are concentrating on loving your neighbor, judging them how the world tells you, it won't happen. And secondly, I want us all to rejoice in the hope to come. We are evil people that bring every evil thing out of the evil stored up in our hearts. But the hope of Jesus' death means that we can do good. And in the last day, we will be seen as perfect. Let's pray. Father, help us as we go out. Help us to love all that we see. Help us to judge in a way that is loving, to help people see your kingdom and to grow in godliness. Lord, help us to put what we hear from your word into practice and help us to help others do the same. Amen.